November 22nd marks the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. Some Americans still think it was the CIA that killed him, or maybe it was the Russians. Years ago, writer Norman Mailer said that the assassination was the largest mountain of mystery in the 20th century, a black hole in space absorbing great funds of energy and never providing a satisfactory answer. But just a few years after the assassination, reviewers agreed that, as Newsday put it, the closest we'd ever get to understanding the mind of Kennedy's assassin was Priscilla Johnson McMillan's book, Marina and Lee. Priscilla McMillan was a young reporter in the Soviet Union when she met Lee Harvey Oswald and his Russian wife, Marina. Lee was a 19-year-old Marine trying to defect in the Soviet Union. Previously, Priscilla had been an aide to then-Senator John Kennedy, making her the only person in the world who knew both men. Her 1977 book has just been republished. Priscilla McMillan is an associate at the Davis Center for Russian Studies at Harvard. And full disclosure, she was once my landlady. Priscilla, welcome.
Thank you very much, Robin. Glad to be here.
And with Priscilla is Joseph Finder, a writer of famous thrillers like Paranoia, High Crimes. But he's also had a lifelong fascination with Russia, got his master's at the Davis Center, and has written a new foreword to Marina and Lee. Joe, welcome to you as well.
Hi, Robin. Great to be here.
And Priscilla, let's start with you. Your research, exhaustive. You spoke to the Russians who knew both Marina and Lee in Russia. You spoke to their friends and neighbors in New Orleans, Fort Worth, Dallas, FBI agents who'd had Oswald on their radar because he'd tried to defect and then come home. What ultimately do you conclude? Who was Lee Harvey Oswald?
Lee Harvey Oswald was a political actor all his life. And the motivating emotion of his life was spite, anger. He never did anything for a positive reason but to get back at somebody. Revenge.
When you say a political actor, he was a Marxist who hated capitalism and inequality. He raged against racism when he had to appear in court once for handing out flyers. He made sure he sat in the blacks only section, but also beat his wife.
He showed signs of violence from a very young age when he went after his sister-in-law when he was 14 with a knife. He never forgot the grievance he had as a boy of 14 against that person.
Well, Joe Finder, you say Priscilla McMillan reminds us that we like to think great men make history, but actually small men do.
Right.
Does she convince you that that's really what this is at bottom? It is not a spy who returned from the Soviet Union, turned by them. It's not somebody who was part of a conspiracy. It was just one small man doing one horribly big thing.
Yeah, and I write conspiracy thrillers. That's what I do for us, my day job. And I am used to seeing patterns and creating patterns in order to make conspiracies that seem plausible. And while I was reading Priscilla's book, I realized there is no way that you can read this book and still, at the end, think that there was any kind of conspiracy. Priscilla has accounted for almost every minute in the marriage, as far as I can tell. And she has given us a picture of Oswald that is so close up, so fine-grained, that you realize he wouldn't work for anyone. He wouldn't be anyone's cat's paw. So as much as we want to believe that, yeah, things happen for a reason, and big things happen for big reasons, you can't read Marina and Lee and think that he was a cat's paw, that he was part of any kind of conspiracy.
Well, and you also see that this just didn't come out of thin air, as it felt like it did. Oswald did try to assassinate someone before Kennedy, the segregationist and right-wing hero General Edwin Walker. He bought a rifle, but he missed. Mm-hmm. He thought he was going to go to Cuba to fight with Fidel, and thought, well, I know how I'll get there. I'll hijack a plane. So he started working out. Incredibly deluded.
It's unbelievable, his idea about hijacking a plane. He was going to take over the cockpit. Marina was supposed to stand in back, holding their little girl by the hand and holding a pistol in her hand and telling all the passengers not to move.
And she laughed at him. Marina laughed at him like, you're crazy.
Yes, that worked. She laughed him out of it.
Well, their marriage was very strained. I mean, they were both so young, poor. She doesn't speak English. They rely on the kindness of strangers. I just wonder, given that she knew so many things. She knew he'd attempted the assassination of this right-winger. She knew he'd bought a rifle. When she heard of Kennedy's assassination, she went to look for it. He ultimately is the one who kills Kennedy. Does she feel culpable?
Sometimes she felt culpable. Sometimes she felt it was her obligation to tell what she knew, and sometimes she felt it was her obligation to protect him. And after the attempt on General Walker, she made him destroy the evidence. It was to vindicate himself in history that he was doing it. But she made him set a match to a lot of the evidence and put it down the toilet.
There's a lot of what-ifs in the book. Does she ask, what if I had done this? What if, could I have changed the course of history?
I never heard her deal with it in such a large way.
Joe, some of the other what-ifs.
Oh, yeah, they jump out at you. What if Kennedy had not asked to lower the bubble top on his limousine? What if the FBI had investigated the shooting of General Walker, which they didn't?
The shooting attempt.
The shooting attempt, right. But Priscilla also points out something very interesting. The FBI was interested in Lee Harvey Oswald because he went to Russia. He was an attempted defector. Priscilla points out that Oswald was kind of in a delusional way bolstered by this interest on the part of the FBI. It made him feel important. He was important enough to be interviewed by the FBI.
That's author Joseph Finder talking about Marina and Lee, the acclaimed and just reissued book on JFK assassin Lee Harvey Oswald. It's written by our other guest, Priscilla Johnson McMillan, the only person known to have known both JFK and his assassin. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and we're speaking with authors Joseph Finder and Priscilla Johnson McMillan about Priscilla's newly reissued book, Marina and Lee, considered the definitive book on Kennedy assassin Lee Harvey Oswald. Because of Priscilla's exhaustive research, including months spent living with Oswald's widow, Marina, Priscilla met Lee Oswald in the Soviet Union when she was a reporter there and he was a Marine trying to defect. Years earlier, she'd been an aide and friend to then-Senator John Kennedy. Her conclusion after all her research is that Lee Harvey Oswald had been brutalized by his mother and spent his 24 years lashing out, trying to make himself bigger than he felt. Just before the break, we were hearing how the FBI was interested in Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas because he'd attempted defection earlier and taken up leftist causes, and in a delusional way that made Oswald feel important. And Priscilla, you spoke to FBI agents. You say the sadness is that they dropped their investigation, in part because they had to get ready for President Kennedy coming to Dallas, but also that in interviewing Marina without Lee, they may have set something off.
That agent coming to see Marina where she was staying and asking about Russia, that scared Oswald. And I think it was one of the things that led to the assassination, strangely enough. Yeah. And Oswald took a note to the FBI building in Dallas a few days before the assassination, and the FBI later destroyed the note, but it probably threatened to blow up the FBI building if that agent tried to interview Marina again.
So if they had just followed, hey, wait a minute, somebody just threatened to blow up our building, maybe we should follow this guy, maybe take him in for a little while.
But they didn't read the note.
They
were much more interested in whether he was a commie.
Well, yeah, and that's why they were
looking for the wrong thing.
Joe, it's kind of amazing. There have been all sorts of speculative films about the assassination, but nothing really about these two people.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a film or a fiction novel? I don't know if you could get a fiction novel better than Priscilla's fact-based book. But is it partly because people just don't want to, maybe don't even want to know Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yeah, I think it's easier to sort of imagine him as part of this gleaming conspiracy rather than to look at who he was and what we know about him. And after all, Priscilla spent months with his wife. This is the closest anyone has ever come to interviewing Oswald himself. But to see that life, that kind of miserable, nasty guy that he was, and to understand that his motivations were small, and he was a small person, and that, yes, it is possible in this world for a small person to destroy a great man.
And just another thing that just doesn't square, it's so weird. Here he was, he thought at different times he was a communist and he was a member of the Communist Party. They didn't know who he was. As we said, he was so against inequality and racism. Here's President Kennedy working on civil rights legislation when he gets gunned down. That doesn't square.
He did like Kennedy.
Yeah.
He did like Kennedy, but as he saw it, and in a way he saw it as his duty, his historic duty was to strike a blow or to bring down American capitalism.
I think it's evidence of how delusional he was, that he could admire Kennedy for his civil rights stance and yet decide to kill him.
You say that what this book documents above all else is the vast and irreducible role of chance in what happened, because we don't like that. We want to think
we want that, patterns. We want conspiracies. Yeah. We want big reasons.
Yeah. Priscilla McMillan, I've asked you this before, but here we're coming up on this anniversary, so I don't know how much you're thinking about this. You are the only person whose life intersected with both John F. Kennedy's when he was young, mm-hmm. and let's just say it, perhaps had his eye on you, and Lee Harvey Oswald. Have you long ago stopped trying to figure out why that is?
Well, I knew a lot of people when I was young. And I guess my sense of life was that you do bump up against people a lot. I had wanted to talk to Oswald if he was back in the U.S. because he was a very interesting defector, and I'd written a piece about him. He was the only one I'd ever seen who came to the Soviet Union for ideological reasons. So I had thought of him in the intervening years. And then when this event happened, I wanted, in a way, for Kennedy to try to figure out why this person, this small person that Joe speaks of, had nothing better to do than go out and kill him. Kennedy was so full of questions. If you knew him, he was always asking you things, whether you might had any reason to know about them. He was always asking questions. And so I wanted to understand, well, I think I wanted to understand for him why somebody would do that.
Well, and you make it very clear. You think that the person that ultimately he's wanting to get revenge against is his mother, who was also seen pretty spiteful.
In a way, his mother was the author of the assassination.
Isn't that something? I'm sure there are people saying, ugh, why does it always have to be blamed on the mother? You were sitting in the kitchen of a neighbor, somebody who had actually had Marina and Lee Harvey Oswald living with her at times, when who walks in the door but Lee Harvey Oswald's mother, Marguerite?
Yes, Marguerite walked in, and it was as though she wasn't in reality.
It became clear in the stories that she didn't care for Lee Harvey Oswald, that she tormented him. I mean, what was the cause of his anger towards her?
Her detachment from reality, her being inside a world of her own, and she paid no attention to him, and he himself wrote that he had a mean streak brought on by neglect. And she put all her children in an orphanage when they were very, very young. And all three brothers hated her and left as early as they could.
When you got that answer, was it unsatisfying? Was it even more sickening?
No. I was just very interested in how he worked, why he worked. But again, I wanted to explain to Kennedy why he died. And Kennedy was such a directed person. He was busy all the time. He even had operations that he wouldn't have had to have if he weren't ambitious in politics. And here somebody goes and kills him. Well, he would have wanted to know why somebody had nothing better to do than just go out and kill him. And that's what I wanted to answer.
Priscilla Johnson McMillan, the book that is the result of that question, why, is the newly re-released Marina and Lee, The Tormented Love and Fatal Obsession Behind Lee Harvey Oswald's Assassination of John F. Kennedy. It is hundreds of pages of detailed research and incredible storytelling. And it also has a new foreword by Joseph Finder, New York Times bestselling author of 10 books now.
Right.
What's the one down the road? What's coming?
It's called Suspicion. It comes out in May.
Suspicion.
2014.
What a perfect word for this conversation. Thank you both.
Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
And we're preparing our program for November 22nd. Are you old enough to have memories of that day 50 years ago? Let us know at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Reputation.com, dedicated to protecting businesses and people everywhere from negative content and online search results. More at Reputation.com. And the Institute of Contemporary Art with Amy Silman, a 25-year retrospective of the artist's vivid abstract paintings and intimate drawings, ICABoston.org.